Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood here with my partner in crime and co-host Steve Fatula. We're with McCoy Fatula, and we thought we'd chat today about dating after divorce. But before that, I'll let Steve say good morning to everyone.
Good morning, everybody. It's a nice day today. We got moving pretty good.
Yes, it's a beautiful day. Came in, had everything I needed to get started, got everything together in no time at all, and only forgot one major piece.
Just one little piece to record this thing, but you know.
Hey, we got it together.
It has to start off that way.
It allowed us to catch up. I've been on vacation for a week and
it was a good vacation.
It was everything we needed it to be.
That's a great vacation.
We both came back. I mean, even though we enjoyed the day and we indulged in things, we rested. And that is not something that has happened in our household for a year plus.
Can you tell everybody where you guys went?
Absolutely. We went to Maui.
Okay.
And third time was a charm. Because we had this trip planned since May of 2024.
Yeah, it's been
that
canceled.
Was when it's we were supposed to go.
A few times.
And the day before we were supposed to leave, tsunami warnings, it was chance of life-threatening injury or death.
That's a big one.
And I thought, no.
Yeah.
So we canceled.
Yeah.
And then we had it, 6 months later we were going to go. Thought that was long enough for the tsunami to settle down. And then my husband's back was out, and I thought, oh, no.
It was out like the day before the flight, right?
The day before.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go with you, and you're going to be a crab apple, or we can't do anything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we both collectively decided no. Booked it for May of 2025. Go to check in for the flights the day before. Mm-hmm. We have no seats. And on Hawaiian, you have to have assigned seats. So somehow we paid to be on the plane, but had no place to sit on the plane.
Oh, okay.
It's a Saturday.
Just hold up, just stand.
The travel agent is home and not talking to us. So we had to pay again to get seats.
Mm-hmm.
But there were seats.
Okay.
And as I was talking to the employee at Hawaiian, she said, well, do you want seats to come home? Because you don't have those either. And I thought, well, that might be a good idea. I mean, I like Hawaii, but
not.
I do have responsibilities here. I have to come home. Although, I did get offered a bartending job, and it really made me question.
Right on the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. That'd be fair.
Yeah. The guy's like, you are hired. And I'm like, are you serious? And he goes, absolutely. I will hire you today. I'm like, but I only know how to make Bloody Marys and beer mimosas.
You go back 2 whole weeks, you had your first bartending gig at the golf course, and you made those 2 drinks.
And I actually caused a golf cart crash.
No, you did not. Nope, that's a non-legal statement.
I did.
You didn't. You had nothing to do with it.
No, that guy was a terrible driver.
Yeah, he was bad before you.
Yeah, I don't even think I served him.
He didn't have anything.
No, but we did make it to Hawaii, and we got there because it's a 3-hour time difference. So we got there at like 9 a.m., even though we had to get up 2:30 here to get on the plane. Terrible. But it was straight
through.
How
long was the flight?
5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
I thought it was like 8.
No, 5 hours is my limit on a plane.
Okay.
I get
really
antsy. But we got up. We got to the airport by 4:30. We boarded the plane by like 6:05. Very smooth. Watched a movie. Next thing you know, we're in Hawaii. Take
nice.
A little suitcases, came right off the thing, which is wonderful. And then we took a little trolley that, I mean, we just walked up to it and there was the trolley. Got to the rental car place and I looked at a Jeep and I'm like, that's the one I want. And then it's because you might not get the pick. I'm like, oh no, that's the one I want. That's the one we got. It couldn't have been smoother.
Nice.
Got to the hotel and they're like, oh, your room's not ready, but we have a suite if you want it. This is a great day.
Let's keep going. Yeah, that's awesome.
So then we're like, oh, we're going to take a nap the first day because we've been up almost, you know, by the end of the night, it'll be 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want a nap. We're just walking around the beach, had a cocktail, sat by the pool, talked to a lot of wonderful people. I think went to bed at 7 o'clock, but it was a beautiful day.
That's great.
And then every morning we'd get up, have our coffee, watch the sunrise, go to the gym for an hour, which is amazing because ocean view.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd walk to a buffet where they had anything and everything you could want.
Nice.
Donuts every day. And I didn't eat them, till the last day. And I'm like, I gotta have a donut. It's vacation.
Yeah.
And I held out for 7 days.
I feel like you should have started with donut and then you could just, like, you know,
right,
weaned off it weaned by then you came back.
Well, I balanced the no donut and one more alcohol drink. So
okay, okay. Of,
but that's, it was
because you're still in like workout mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we didn't nap, but it was very restful. He's like, do you want to book snorkeling? No, I'm good. Do you want to go on a sunset cruise? Do you? No, I'm good. I just don't want you to be bored. And it was, I had 19,000 steps most every day, just walking the beach and hanging by the pool. And of course, you're walking everywhere, you know, from your room to it. So you can't help it. But we would lay by the pool and it was just, both of us felt rested, which is not a feeling I'm used to. It freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the key, you nailed it, is you don't have to do something.
No, and I think people get, you're so used to every moment's filled.
Yeah.
And as I was explaining to you this morning, I try and figure out how to get everything done in a moment. So if I'm driving and I'm going to be on a 10-minute car ride and I have a 10-minute phone conversation I have to have, that's when I do it. You just try and figure out in pieces. And the first night I was there and everything went so smooth, which is not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's a trend that continues, but it hasn't been the norm.
No.
And I started having anxiety attacks when I was going to sleep. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And it was because I had nowhere to be, nothing I had to do, and I was relaxed, and my body did not know how to handle it.
Yeah,
I was like freaking out, and I just had to count. When I get nervous, I count in my head. So I just counted until I fell asleep, and the next morning I got up and never felt that way again. But I didn't understand. My body couldn't handle the relaxation part. It didn't know what to do with it.
That's very interesting. Yeah. That's kind of funny, but that's good that you were able to do that.
Yeah, and even this morning, getting ready for work, the mood in our house is different. Mm-hmm. We're like energized and ready to go again. I was ready to come back. I came back to check in on a day that I was scheduled to be off just because I wanted to check in.
And our question was, why are you here?
I know.
Straight across the board.
It was so weird. I walked in. I'm expecting Lori, and everybody's looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think it's because we live off the calendar. And when the calendar says someone's not supposed to be here and they show up, it throws everybody off. And it's just like, we're happy to see you, but it's still like, but why are you here? What's going on? Go back to Hawaii.
I know. I just really wanted to check it. I had this need to just come see everybody.
Well, that was good.
Because I didn't want to get, like, I didn't wear makeup for a week. I think I put on a face.
Me neither.
Right?
Yeah, just didn't do it.
And it's freeing. And it's I put on a face for our anniversary dinner.
Okay.
Other than that, it was a big floppy hat or a ponytail. And I just didn't care.
That's good.
It was so nice.
That is great.
I might come in looking pretty shabby because I got really used to it.
Just have some Mai Tais. We'll be good.
Right?
Right?
Lahaina lemonades. Those suckers will kick your butt and you don't even see it coming. I was like, oh, it's warm and that's so refreshing. I'll have another. Oh, one more. And then you're like seeing everything out of one eye. But it was fun.
But it was
fun. They have another drink called One More Please. And that one, that I have to figure out how they made it. I got the bartender's contact information. And we met some wonderful people. I now have a new best friend who's a CEO of a hospital in Kentucky. And he's just adorable, 63, and was at the gym every morning. And his partner was a TV watching kind of person. I'm like, if you want to hang out with us, you're more than welcome to. And you meet some really nice people when you travel, or at least I do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You get to meet new people. Maybe that guy's got like a good bourbon connection.
Right.
We've got to chat him up.
We'll keep in contact with him for sure. He's already let me know he was home because he went to a different island for a couple of days. And so I said, we're heading out. How's Honolulu? And he said, it's no Maui. And then we told him we were home. And he goes, how's home? I go, it's no Maui. But
very fun.
Lovely person.
Very, very nice.
So it was wonderful to go. It was wonderful to come back. It was wonderful to feel rested. And then, you know, life smacks you in the face a little, but we'll talk about that another podcast.
Yeah, life wakes you up and is back to grind all day.
Instantly.
God.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. We are happy that you are back and refreshed for at least a day.
Right.
And now we're going to talk about an interesting topic because we're getting a lot of people excited about this dance coming up. So why don't you tell everybody about the dance, and then that'll kind of jump us right in.
Yes. In October of this year, we're having, for lack of a better term, a singles prom. And we think it's going to be kind of along the lines of a masquerade, but we're not stuck on the theme yet.
Okay.
But I understand that it's been something you've wanted to do for a very long time. We do a lot of divorces, a lot of relationships we see break up. But you wanted a place where we could get people together to see what happens.
Yeah, I think we deal with so much negative.
Yeah.
Our job, and I don't think people get this. Like, everyone has their divorce and it sucks. And this is not a minimization, but we have everyone's divorce.
Right.
Every day and have for many, many years. And at some point, you kind of look for, like, the little bits when people smile again. You're like, holy crap, that's kind of cool. You guys are happy about something. And
100%.
One of it is people don't know how to move on. And that kind of led to the topic today of, like, how do people start dating again or doing things again, or what's good and what's bad. And we see it from slightly a different angle of, like, how does this impact things, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about how that impacts things. But from the dance side, it was just a way to be like, hey, this is kind of fun. Go do fun. And, you know, we'll have food and drink, right? Like, that's the plan, is to just kind of set it up and let people have a good time. And
have it be whatever they want it to be. And I think that's really important, because divorce does suck. It's one, outside of death.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things that you'll go through. And so when yours is difficult, and I've been through it, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But we see it all day, every day. So times your suck by 1,000, and that's what we get.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And so to have anything that, you know, if the clients are a little better off after, if they're in a better position financially, mentally, physically, whatever, it's a win. But to have something to look forward to, not only for us, but for the clients, because along the way, sometimes you get lost, you forget to have fun, you forget to smile, you don't have anything to look forward to sometimes.
Yeah.
So if this not only is a fun event, but helps people kind of get back out into the dating world or intermingle with other like individuals.
In person, not online.
Oh, this don't is, get me started on the online crap.
You're going to have to interact. You're going to have to shake hands. You're going to say hi. You're going to do things in people line. And
we might
be happy.
Have to have a couple classes first to teach people how to interact with real human beings. But I digress. You said
great.
That you were going to say kind of how our topic today, dating after divorce, or...
Yeah. So
is impactful.
We have lots of clients that effectively never leave, right? They always have a presence here. They're always coming back, updating us or things of that nature. And the dating world is always weird. I mean, we watch it differently, but it's obviously weird for people that are going after, you know, 10 plus year marriage back into the single life and figuring things out.
You hung up your flirting, you know, stuff and all that, all those skills when you got married.
And it seems like things are going really weird for the internet world and everything like that, where people that have been gone from the dating world for 10 years, it's not the same. And it's
they don't know what to do or where to go or how to.
So you always have these issues of, like, am I allowed to date after your divorce? And the answer is yeah. The courts, from a legal standpoint, right, the courts are not patrolling issues and they're not dealing with issues, and you can date during your divorce and nobody
really
cares.
That was
going
to be my question, because that's the question that I got the most. Can I date during?
Yeah.
And it's not legally like you can't, but let's think about what that decision does.
Yeah. So I think you've nailed it. The answer is there's nothing that prevents you, but there could be impacts from you doing it.
Right.
Right. And the biggest one we see probably is relating to how it impacts the other spouse, former spouse. They tend to get pissed.
Especially when there's children involved.
When there's children involved. So you have situations that could be smooth turning into not smooth. One option could be, you know, not to date, which seems like a selfish statement on my part. Just would make my life easier when I'm dealing with this. But alternatively, it would be not to introduce the kids to the partner, new partner, until it's serious, until it's been some time. And the courts don't have a written rule, but it tends to be, you know, they're more comfortable with, you know, about a 6-month block before you start introducing new people, because it's obviously a lot of changes in the kid's life. So
right.
Mom and dad are not in the same house. Mom and dad are probably a little emotional right then. we don't need to be bringing in new people, and we certainly don't want to start calling them mom and dad. And there's all kinds of like respects that the court will order, but it should be more practical and kind of pragmatic in that sense that, like, would this hurt your feelings if the other side did it? Then just don't do it right now. And it doesn't mean ever, but like, be super sensitive during your divorce, immediately following your divorce. If you have a new person and it was the person that ended the marriage, please don't wave it in your spouse's face. Like, that kind of stuff is just kind of common sense is the wrong word, but it's a word I'm using.
It's the word that came to my mind. And typically in a divorce, the parties are never on the same emotional page.
Yeah.
So one person has thought about the divorce for a while and then pulled the trigger, and the other person could even think everything's going fine and be blindsided. So that person who's mourned the marriage and is farther ahead, when they introduce a new person, it breeds nothing but pain and problems.
Yes.
And we've seen many times when a third person gets involved and that person has an opinion or has been divorced and compares it to their divorce or what they think should happen or the time they think it should happen, it just creates chaos.
It does. I think it's inevitable in some cases, but where you could control it, do your best. Because the reality is, again, there's a level of emotional baggage, some respect, some of these kind of things that it's not a dollar, and it's not that you've done something legally wrong.
No.
But the impact of it is going to be long lasting. We have seen lots of people mad years and years and years that can't get over the fact that somebody got into a new relationship too soon. And there's no magic as to when too soon is. And the answer is, unfortunately, it doesn't matter.
No.
But just be cautious with how quickly you introduce your children to this situation. And then from a legal standpoint, the only thing that would probably, well, let's shift maybe to, like, if they move in with you.
Yeah.
Then that creates potentially some actual changes where, one, if you, again, for the kids, that could be a big deal. We've had cases where people have brought in new people after days. Courts don't tend to be happy about that. Courts don't tend to be happy. Doesn't sound right.
Courts are not happy.
The coffee has not kicked in.
That's all right. We'll get them another cup. And I have had cases where there's a criminal background.
Oh, yeah. Those are the...
And sometimes moved in within days. And that's problematic.
Yeah, so the criminal world follows, and some people don't know what their spouses or new partners or something did. And it's kind of weird because some of the things the courts could care about, recent DUI versus a DUI when they were 21 and now they're 40, right? Like things that are, you know, they kind of dilute over time. But then there's some that, and especially where it's like, how do we say it? Not sex crimes, but like lewd behaviors.
Yes,
things,
lewd conduct.
Where even if it's time, that's going to get brought back in, and then that could be a big deal. So the unfortunate part is, you know, somebody that got arrested for perhaps peeing in public, so to speak, right? Middle of a field, but a cop happened to be there. Well, they may have a charge against them that puts them on effectively a registry that while they've never done anything inappropriate to a child, they legally have restrictions.
Which there are so many scenarios where that could be not a big deal, but a big deal.
Right. Like,
so it's kind of across the board. The court has to act a certain way.
They have to act a certain way, and you really can't explain. We've had clients that when they were 18 and their girlfriend was 17, and that gets brought up 20 years later, and there's a statutory rape claim because the girlfriend's brother didn't like the boyfriend. Like, things where in a bubble, right? In a bubble, right. It's just not as big of a deal from a practical standpoint.
And what you and I did at the age of 18 is not decisions we would make now, so that's really difficult.
It's hard, like, if you have a relationship that's in high school, and it's a junior and a senior, that somehow that would impact your life it's weird sometimes the some of the stories that just the wrong pieces have to fall the right way to create this catastrophe. But that's what we dealt with, and 20 years later it came up
mm-hmm. And if the former spouse gets a hold of it, they're not going to gear the facts of the scenario in favor of the person that's just coming in and being with their former spouse.
Yeah, and
it's going to be problematic.
They kind of have to, mm-hmm. because if your former spouse finds out and doesn't at least inquire, and CPS finds out and finds out that the other spouse didn't inquire, now you're both looking at neglect. And that becomes just like this sucky scenario. And the one that we had that we were dealing with, the only advice we could provide is you can't have that person live in the house. And they were married. And they go, well, we got married. We've been married. What happens? And the answer is, because of the conviction, you really shouldn't do this. And you should ask the court for a specific order that says it's okay. And they were kind of blown away, but that was the answer. But like, if I couldn't say, just go ahead and don't worry about it, because you have to worry about it. It's going right. to come up. And it did come up, and they ended up, I don't really recall the outcome because they chose a different path.
I was going to say,
yeah.
How long were they married before this became an issue?
I think it was like 2 years. So like, it wasn't like the next day. It was someone found out about something
2 years later. And how old were the children, if you remember?
They were like preteen, like 10 to 12, that range.
So there was a ways to go.
There was a ways to go. And they also were old enough that, respectfully, if something were happening that was inappropriate, you know, they could voice that opinion. And the thing that gentleman had done was the scenario I gave. He was 18, and maybe I'm wrong, he's 19, and she was 17, could be 16. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, that's not my point.
Right.
But they were in a committed long-term relationship from high school, for whatever that means.
And
it,
love.
Right? And it was her brother that didn't like him, and then her brother became a cop, and then her brother arrested him. And it's just one of those scenarios that when you just like in 99% of the times, that's just a relationship that ends.
Right.
And in this 1% of the time, you have a family member that didn't appreciate it and created the scenario, and he got arrested and convicted, and
it followed him
and follows him still, life. Even though, again, like the argument, I believe, and this may be one that I'm wrong about, but that she could not consent because of her age. So which creates a whole different problem
right.
there. But that right. was that's where it was. It was a technical issue. But
so let's take that and kind of talk about what people could have done differently.
Sure.
That because we want to encourage, not discourage.
Yeah.
But there's common sense, as you said. There's respect, even mm-hmm. though your marriage is over, especially if you're a co-parent. There's got to mm-hmm. be some type of respect. You need to treat the other person the way you want to be treated, because it is reciprocal.
Even if they didn't do it first, right? You should always do the right thing, because at some point it either can break through to them and everyone's on the same page.
Right.
Or you at least don't have to answer for anything you've done.
I was going to say, right. And really, being a little sensitive to the other person makes your life easier.
Yeah.
It really can. Not in every situation. But
no.
So this person, you know, we're not saying what this 18-year-old was convicted of is right or wrong. We're not speaking of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking of the relationship that he got in with the former wife of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to do differently to avoid that pain and just avoid your husband getting asked to leave the family house after 2 years
yeah,
because
so
of something you did when you were 18.
New wife knew the whole time, and she didn't think anything of it. And let's start there. I would probably suggest from the beginning, being transparent, is as transparent as you can, and not playing the hide the ball game until it explodes.
Right.
And I don't know if she was doing it, but not being transparent, I could say that part happened. And going right to court, whenever it's at a serious spot, and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is where our relationship is. I'd like them to move in and move forward. They've met my kids. There's no problems. And we need a specific order because of this thing. The alternative is you can try to expunge the criminal issue, which would help.
Right.
And I believe that was one of the pieces I had advised him to look into. And I think that they didn't want to spend any more money doing it. And that's when I was like, look, if you can't do these things, we're in a stuck pattern. And wasn't comfortable moving forward. And the negative, there's another case. Well, let's finish your question. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So what else would they do? So I think that you have to ask the court's permission. And I think you have to ask the other side if they care. And if they don't care, then you don't have to ask the court's permission because you have consent.
So I was going to say, if you broach it with your former spouse.
Yeah.
And really none of this matters if there's not children, I wouldn't think.
None of it matters if there's not children. Yeah.
So you would broach it with your and say, hey, I'm in this relationship. Mm-hmm. This is, lay everything out on the table.
I think, from my stance, I think it's always best to do it that way.
Absolutely.
And like,
if you're controlling it.
You're controlling it. And if it's really bad, then respectfully, you shouldn't probably do it.
Right.
Right. Like if it's, let's just take it to the extreme. An active child molester that you really think is cute, you're going to lose your kids unless you say, hey, this isn't going to work out.
And the other parent in those cases should take the children
away. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. Like it's.
So I guess background check. Yeah, first and foremost. And I don't think that's such an oddity today. I think that however people meet on dating sites or whatever, background checks and at very minimum social media checks are being done. And there's even a website you can go to. Are we dating the same person where they just former relationships put warnings out to potential relationships?
Oh, that's crazy.
People. So those are sites that are being checked. I myself would worry much more about a criminal background than what a former boyfriend or girlfriend says, because we all have our own.
Yeah, just where that's coming from. Right.
So honesty with your former spouse. If there's something, we don't want to hide skeletons. We don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but control the narrative.
Yeah,
because
before
the bomb blows up, detonate it yourself.
I think in my mind, 99% of the time, that's the answer. Yeah. I don't know, sitting here, when I would say don't tell them, right? Like I can't imagine a scenario, at least as I sit here right now, where my answer would be don't tell your former spouse that issue.
I can't either. And if it's something that you can't or shouldn't tell anybody, then maybe be careful for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's
an easy how would one. You receive it if your daughter or your son or your brother or your sister told you that they were dating an individual with that past?
Yeah, now if it's like someone was accused of something and that never came out, that I don't think I would bring up, right? I wouldn't bring up like, oh, well, this person got accused by a coworker 6 years ago. That would not be things.
No,
I would
we're
deal
talking
with.
About a conviction.
We're talking about a conviction. Things that are not up for debate. Yeah.
So you were going to tell us about another scenario, another case.
Yeah. Another case was there was something with an individual they were dating. And the new partner brought in somebody that had been convicted of domestic violence or something like that. And we had said at that point, unfortunately, you've got to get rid of that person because they can't be around your child. And they weren't married. They were just dating. And the reality is I don't believe they listened. And then the other side caught wind, and most of this stuff is public, guys, so you can find information pretty easily anymore. Yeah. That person ended up contacting us later because they lost their kids because the court said essentially the same thing I said, that you didn't protect them. You knew this thing, and you brought this individual into your home, and that's a problem. And the answer is, unfortunately, you have to still do that. You have to remove that person. It's the same thing. During CBS investigations, if they think, if one new partner is being investigated for that period, you have to put them in somewhere else. Hotel, you don't get your kids. Like, you have to show your kids come before the new relationship.
And they should.
And they should. Absolutely they should.
And it's not like that person. I mean, it may have been something just in a single relationship 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But everybody has to err on the side of caution if the kids are involved.
That has to be the answer, right? And then you flush it out. You go through the investigation. You figure things out. And then you can go from there. But I think you have to take that stance first. And the same thing is if your child comes to you and says, new partner, new whatever, hurt me, you have to take that serious. Because if they tell the other spouse, former spouse, that, that's going to turn into a bomb. And you have to, it's such a difficult scenario, but it has to be one that says, hey, I'm letting you know this happened. I need you to tell me what happened. And then maybe I need you to move out for a minute. Then you have to talk to the other parent. Hey, this is what happened. I've asked them to leave. And if not, you run the risk of losing your kids. Even if it's something that may not be true, that you know may not be true, you got to get in front of it because it's going to create problems later and the court's not going to believe you.
And it's so difficult to have that conversation. My husband just came home, and he does a lot of work for an outfit in San Jose. Mm-hmm. And he's been working for this particular outfit for 10 plus years.
Okay.
And all the workers are the same. And some of these workers we had in our house that helped us do cabinetry and remodel. Mm-hmm. And he just came home and said, do you remember such and such? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, his stepdaughter has made allegations against him. And he has been arrested. And he has reached out to the owner of the company that they, and said, can you bail me out? And the bail was $200,000. And the owner said, you know, I feel for you. I can't. But maybe I'll help you get counsel because everybody deserves an attorney. And because my husband has known him for so long, it was very easy for him to say, he's a good guy, it didn't happen. I said, wait a minute. He said, well, even his wife is standing by him. So that must mean. I go, that doesn't mean. Now, there, unfortunately, are a lot of times that kids get mad that a new parent has been brought in or they're just normal teenagers. And in this day and age, words that shouldn't come out, come out.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not true. But we don't, because we've known someone or they seem like a nice person, we don't just automatically assume that that couldn't happen. You have to listen to the child. And you have to do the work to find out if the child is telling the truth. Because God forbid that child is.
Yeah, this would not be an innocent until proven guilty scenario. From the court standpoint, it's protect the kid, then investigate.
Right.
And unfortunately, you're right, it happens. It happens probably... I don't want to say a third of the cases, but I would guess probably a third where a child accuses a new partner of a thing, and a lot of the times it's not real. And this sucks, guys, to deal with this stuff.
And sometimes that's prompted by a parent.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst. But the court builds in punishments for the people that are teaching kids to lie, and that's how people lose their kids.
As they should,
because you're destroying that child.
That's traumatic to the child.
Oh, yeah.
To have to say those things and not be true.
We had a case where, and I'm not going to put a gender on whether it's more moms or dads, because I don't have any data supported, but
yeah.
This case was a mom said dad molested the kid, and we represented dad. And it went through many months of CPS investigations because it was very vivid details that were quote unquote told to mom. And mom had this child poked and prodded in every possible way. And ultimately it was determined it never happened. And I think even mom agreed it never happened at one point and continued to do certain valuations. And the court was livid and removed the kid and sent the kid to the other side of the country. And didn't feel bad at all from doing it. And despite mom having raised this kid for 6 years, went, nope, you're not safe around this child. Child's not safe around you. See you later. Bye.
100%.
And it was a good outcome from what should happen for a safety thing. But it was still.
It's traumatic.
It's
not only has the child been poked and prodded beyond belief, she's told that something so important and so sacred to be voiced can just be used against somebody else.
Yep.
And it's almost like a cry wolf scenario. So,
yeah.
And then to be taken away from the parent that she's close to, or I don't know if it's the boy or girl child, the parent they've known.
Yeah.
And then to be taken out of the country that they've known. I mean, no, all of this. Not
still country, just back east.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So same country, which is. But still,
I mean, moving from a different city is traumatic for a child. I have seen those cases myself. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't think there's any case that I've seen that ever makes me angrier.
Yeah.
I mean, but you've always got to take the side of it's happening to the child, rally the wagons, protect the child, figure the rest out as you go.
The courts are going to want you to do the same thing.
So as we're trying to get people to feel comfortable dating after divorce. We've gone off topic a little bit, but one of the things is if you have children, you have to really, you know, I've always thought that dating is like a job interview.
That's fair. You have
to decide what position you're hiring for, and you have to have a detailed job description and the expectations, everything. Mm-hmm. And then as you meet people, if they're not a qualified candidate, then you thank them for an evening or coffee or whatever, and you move on to the next applicant. Mm-hmm. That's not romantic, but it's true. You can't just, yeah. He's cute, or it's a position that you're going to have filled, hopefully for the rest of your life. So thought, time, and everything. So just get to know that person. Do a background check, because you never know who people are.
Yeah.
Until you find out who people are.
And I think you need to, unfortunately, act on gut a lot more before you ever introduce them to kids. And I want to make one transition, because the only other thing that's probably worth mentioning is if you move a new partner into your home and you're getting paid spousal support, that can trigger an end of spousal support.
Explain that to people.
Yeah, so in most agreements, settlement agreements, court orders, whatnot, there are triggers that end support, right? Getting remarried tends to end support. Someone dying ends support, right? There's just these automatic things that are usually built into the agreements. But one that the court can consider and may result in terminating a support order is somebody cohabitating in a spouse-like relationship. So you move your boyfriend in, you move your girlfriend in, and you guys are now sharing all the bills and taking the benefits of having a couple. The courts can consider that and can terminate support. And I've seen it both do that and then not be enough of a factor.
Because are they saying that the need for support is less with the shared expenses?
That's exactly it, yeah. Okay. The need's down. So cohabitating can be a factor the court considers. It's certainly not the end-all, be-all, but it is a big deal.
And in some marital settlement agreements, it's written in that support would terminate upon cohabitation in a romantic partnership.
Yeah. So you have to be, one, very aware of what your document says.
Of course.
You should read it, but the reality is most people kind of just agree and move forward. Even when somebody says you have permanent support, understand in most cases permanent support is modifiable, and if it's modifiable, it's terminatable.
Right.
So you've got to pay attention and just see what you can and cannot do. Them staying the night is different than them living with you. So that's
is there a certain amount of consecutive nights that the court would look at?
I've never seen that.
Okay.
I think it would still lead to the argument you've raised about reducing need. So I think that would still be there, but I think it tends to be either they've moved in and that's their residence or it's not.
So in cases where the new love interest doesn't have a job, it moves in, probably wouldn't.
Yeah, I guess that one wouldn't really create any changes per se.
Just aggravation.
But
for
you're
many.
Definitely going to piss off that paying spouse.
Yeah.
And they're going to be out for blood, because we have seen that one many, many times. They don't want to pay for your new boyfriend or new girlfriend.
Which is shocking.
Which is just so rude.
I just don't understand.
Especially when you're in the family home, especially when you started the divorce. They tend to be pissed about that.
Yeah. A little cranky.
A little cranky. But, you know, that's so part of what it is. A
couple things that we've just, you know, get to know the person.
Yeah.
If there is something in the background that you're comfortable being in a relationship with that person, mm-hmm. and you have a spouse, put things on the table, mm-hmm. Get in front of it, mitigate mm-hmm. what could possibly blow up in your face or change the outcome or harm the kids. Mm-hmm. I'll say this for the rest of my life, kids first.
Yeah.
If we choose to have kids, we lose the right, and we've made the choice that we will always come second.
I think that's fair.
Period. So you have to keep that in mind.
Even if you didn't choose and it still happened, still responsibility.
The boat that I am in.
Yeah,
so
it comes with the world.
It happened for me, but I've never been so grateful.
Correct. That's fair.
But still, there was a period of 11 years that I didn't date because I wanted to raise my child. And because I didn't know, especially when I have a little girl, mm-hmm. You don't want to just bring, I mean, you don't know who somebody is even if you date 6 months. They have a mask, and they, you know,
they're
the
on
mask
their best
comes
behavior.
Like, oh, yes.
It's still a
and that's the fun
phase,
part.
Right? It's still a honeymoon phase.
And we do
yeah.
want people to have fun dating. We just want them to be careful
yeah.
and be smart. It's difficult to have trust again, especially if you've been wronged by a spouse or blindsided by divorce. But you should do things at your own speed, at your own pace. that work for you and not your neighbor, brother, cousin, mother, sister. And we're hoping that this dance that we are having will give people a safe place just to meet other people and interact.
That's it.
And have a good time.
That's it. Just have
and
some
that's
fun.
Really what you should do moving forward. Have a safe place where you meet people, interact, and have some fun.
That's it. And we'll have more details to come as things develop.
Absolutely. We'll talk about it as we get closer. We're getting very excited about it. I'm excited about the planning, the decorating, the food, all the stuff. That's really fun to do.
Yeah.
And it Steve's
sounds great.
Yeah, I'm very excited about all that stuff too.
Yep.
But I think for today, we've probably spoken long enough and hopefully given words of wisdom and encouragement and not the other way around.
Hopefully.
And we hope everybody is kind to others and kind to themselves and has a great day. We'll be back next week.
See you guys.